some of the, what I would call miracles, but are ordinary things for God to make happen, and how Naaman was healed. And there's just a series of events like this that happened. And, you know, Israel is in a constant state of turmoil with the rest of the world. Kind of like today, you know. They still worship Baal and this Asherah, and they go back and forth. Elisha remains faithful. Faithful to God, unswerving, and a real help to Israel and to the kings. He's regarded by the people and by the king, recognized, I'm sure, in the entire region to be a true prophet and a man of God. So if you will, look in your bulletins or open your Bibles, and I'd like to read the story. 2 Kings 6, verses 8 through 23. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel, conferring with his officers, and he said, "I will set my camp in such and such a place." And the man of God, Elisha then, sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going to be down there." So the king of Israel checked, and the place indicated by the man of God, and time again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. Well, this enraged the king of Aram, and he summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Well, go and find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men there to capture him." And the report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" The servant answered. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered him. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill those of you captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them, so that they may eat and drink, and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away. And they returned to their master. And the bands of Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. want to make note of the text in verse 17. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Elliot and I talked about miracles, and he just mentioned it again. We call them miracles. Is that a biblical translation? Maybe signs and wonders is a better term. But what I was going to ask is for everybody to keep a small tab on the side of their bulletin or in their mind if they can of all the miracles that happen in this story. It's astounding. You see, the king of Aram doesn't know what to do. They're at war with Israel. It's a constant harassment. I'm sure the border towns suffered the most. They lost territory. I think east of the Jordan was already occupied by other nations, which was originally Israel's. But also Elisha's listening ear, communing with God. His concerns for Israel's future, God's people, the children, the poor, the oppressed, but yet their idolatry. Elisha responds to God's message and messages. Verse 10. Time and time again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. How does that happen? A sign and wonder, a miracle. But Elisha doesn't sit back and ponder. Elisha goes to work. Elisha takes action. He takes action for God. What a model for our lives. He sends word or goes himself to the king. King, this is what's happening. King Joram confirms what he hears from Elisha by scouting reports and witnesses, and again the word of Elisha is found to be true. Now I want to stop right there. Did the king miss the big picture? And that's the problem we have too. Isn't it God at work? Does he have a hard time seeing like maybe we do at times? He didn't see that God was working these miracles. And if he did, how come he didn't acknowledge it? But meanwhile, back in Aram, verse 11, this enraged the king of Aram, and he summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which one of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" I wish I could put more emotion into that. That was just a statement I read. But I'm sure there was frustration, anger, and it was probably building, getting worse. I'm sure the men at that meeting were uncomfortable. The pressure was on. This was an accountability meeting. Heads might roll. No one there was at ease. I think the king maybe brought bodyguards. Maybe this was a coup attempt. Maybe he was the one that was going to have his life ended. And maybe there was more than one traitor. Maybe it was deceptive, 2, 3. Maybe he brought his own dagger, you know. He kept it right in his boot, strapped to his thigh. He was the king of Israel. He was the leader. Oh, excuse me, that's not true. Okay. How did his officials know about Elisha? There was no communication like we're experiencing today. Word about Elisha must they were bordering nations. But maybe that healing was heard of. Certainly, maybe they have heard of this Yahweh God before. But generations pass and people forget. A new king in power and the old goes away. But how could they miss this big picture? If they knew Israel's history, and King Joram must have known it, God was behind it all. Couldn't they see? And today, we have to have eyes to see. See the big picture. God loves us. That's what we just sang about. Give us eyes to see. Well, the solution is just capture Elisha and it'll be over. That was their conclusion. That was their plan. I think it was short-sighted. But I can see why they did that. I understand that. So, down to Dothan. Charge, huh? Swords in hand. Verse 14. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. Now, like I mentioned, I think Israel had given up territory east of the Jordan River, where Manasseh and Gad and Dan had tribes. I don't know why they weren't still there. But the Arameans take advantage of that, probably coming in from the east, undetected, entering there right at the Jordan River, 20 miles from Dothan. Water the horses, and on the way. Maybe spies were sent ahead. But they come at night. 20 miles in the early dawn morning to Dothan. Now it says the king sent an army. Now, a small army, what would that be? I don't know, 20,000 men. But it was enough troops to surround the city. And I'm sure there were extra reinforcements in case anything went wrong. There was no way that this man could possibly escape. Their mission was to capture Elisha. They would take him by force in the morning, and it would be over. We'll take this guy home. We'll take him out of here. We'll get rid of him. In my outline, I put good morning. I like to use that phrase. Every day is a good morning, isn't it? Great day. Well, maybe not so good for the army. But maybe it was. Maybe it was. Verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army of horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord. What shall we do? The servant asked. Elisha's response, fear not. Where have we heard that before? Doesn't this point again ahead to Jesus? All his miracles, the way he rescued the disciples. So stand back and watch. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus said to his disciples before he left. Elisha pointed often ahead to Christ, I think, and the miracles certainly did. Compassion, caring for the people. Oh, how he loved us. Elisha had probably talked to God ahead of time again. I don't know how well he slept that night. I don't know if he did sleep. He knew. He knew something was coming. He knew something was up. And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, I've tried to picture that in my mind. If the enemy is here and Elisha is surrounded, I don't know where the hills were, where the mountains were. But it had to be an awesome sight. I've never seen chariots of fire. I'm sure none of us have. I see them in books. I see pictures, paintings. They're all a little different. No one knows. But this servant knew it was an awesome, awesome sight. And to have more of them than more of the human army. But Elisha prayed. God never used his fiery host. There was never a battle cry, never a thundering hoof, no sounds. Tension. But Elisha prayed. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike the army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. No human strength, no bows, no swords, no bloodshed, no horsepower. God uses weakness, brokenness, compliance. Really, he gives them a second chance. They all survived. Come follow me. There's a little bit of trickery here. I don't know how you read the story. Did Elisha fool them? I don't know. I think they knew where they were. Come follow me. Pointing to Jesus again. Elisha is head of the game again. You know, he wasn't distracted by the armies. He knew what to ask. He's been thinking, praying, seeing ahead. The eyes of faith, perhaps. It was 11 miles to Samaria, right up the road. 2-3 hours? I don't know. He led them. I wonder if he had the lead chariot horse and just took him. I don't think the horses were blinded. I think they had to show the way. They didn't realize it, but God was saving them. Saving Israel, yourself in this story? Where do you fit? Are you a servant? Are you a warrior? Are you listening? Do you see? It must have been quite a festival, seating all these men. I don't know, maybe if it was buffet style, I don't know. But a feast. And I would like to think that Elisha opened with prayer, leading the people again, showing the way, getting them back on track for all to see. So the enemy is fed. The people that they were going to attack feeding them instead. But it was a feast for all. I'm sure the Israelis were, the Jews were happy about resolve. Tension turned to calm. Love, a more excellent way. Restored. Redeemed, freedom, bearing witness to God's great mercy, pointing to Jesus again and his many miracles, miracles for us. If you would count miracles, I don't know how many you would have by now. I put the number at 15. Isn't that amazing? But if you think of hearts that were changed in Israel and in the enemy, there were endless miracles that day. And while I prepared this message, I had to ask myself several times, what am I not seeing, Lord? What things am I overlooking or looking too short-sightedly at? Am I blinded by the immediate, capturing a man and solving it? Or is it bigger? Am I missing it? Am I blinded by the immediate circumstances?